Hello and welcome to More Like the Let's Experiment show about finding new homes for the last forgotten characters in Marvel Crisis Protocol. I'm your host, Lexa White, and with me this week is Seraph Six. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to talk about a fun character, one of my favorites.
Yeah. So for people who may not know you, would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. My name's Pat. I am in my mid-30s. I've been gaming for a very long time. I am out of Portland, and so we're on the same, you know, same coast, which is fun. And I had started playing when I was a teenager, Warhammer, and then moved through all the other games. I used to be really, really competitive with War Machine when I was in my 20s. I was really, really sweaty. I am not as sweaty anymore, which is probably a good thing. You know, overall, for my mental health. But right now, I just enjoy playing MCP and having as much fun as possible on game night is my main goal. So,
yeah,
that's what I like to do.
Fantastic. I'm definitely not a sweaty player, despite being probably in the age range of what most sweat players are super sweaty.
I could be. I have it in me. There's like that, what do you call it? There's the underlying sweat in all of us, and mine is just below the surface, I swear. But, you know, I gotta hold it down because I don't have the time to put into the game to be that good at it.
I spend too much of my time TOing.
I spend too much of my time messing around with lists. I swear, maybe 3, 4, 5 times as much listing than I do playing. It's a problem.
Oh, well, you should see my Cerebro account.
I need to join a support group. We need to make a support group for people who'd spend too much time building lists and not enough time playing them.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm interested in the stats on Cerebro, and if the Cerebro people have this, I would love to hear, of like, who has the most lists on their single account? Because I think I might be up there.
You know, I might be. I have used all the different list builders, and I swear I have multiple pages on every single one. So probably too many.
Well, so I have all of my lists plus over 100 episodes of Morlocks.
That's fun, though. You could publish a little black book of lists, you know, and put it on Discord. I think everyone would really enjoy that.
Well, let's see. My oldest episode, because before this I was using, I think with GD Nerds List Builder.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
And that List Builder has all the data from those episodes has been lost.
Oh,
unfortunately.
No backups.
I lost it when moving computers.
Oh, that's fair. The histories are lost to the sands of time.
Yes.
Never to be found again. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
But the oldest episode I have is episode 47. And for context, this is episode 163.
Well, congrats. That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You've been doing it for a long time.
Yes. But back then, field dressing and med pack were my restricted. Indomitable was not restricted yet.
I'm pretty sure the first list I ever built, the restricted list didn't exist yet.
Oh, me too.
So that's a fun one to the what do you call it, the timeline going through, starting back in the relatively early pandemic to now.
My first major list, which I went on the Roster Doctor for back when that was a podcast, speaking of GD Nerd, my first major list was Thanos Spider Foes.
Wow, that is that takes me back. I was definitely one tricking MODOK and Red Skull at the time. Absolutely. I had a blast.
I still love that Red Skull. I think he's an underrated piece in the current game.
I didn't choose Red Skull. I'd love to talk to you about Red Skull because you have a love affair with Red Skull that I completely respect. Cabal is honestly my one true love in this game. For whatever reason, I love the way they play. However, I cannot play Malekith. I feel like when you're playing Malekith, not Cabal.
So
before Red Skull 3 came out, it was sad times for me and my Cabal obsession. But Red Skull 3 has been a blast.
let me tell you this. Have you ever wanted to turn one advanced on D4, giving both Zemo and Ulic charges turn one?
I have heard about this list. I should probably try it. I should probably try it. I haven't done it yet, but I should probably try it.
It on Superpower Scoundrels is a monster.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. Hold on one moment. It sounds great. I've run a couple of lists where you get charges for turn one. I've played a lot of Steve, like the first one. It's fun. It's just fun to charge the midline turn one. I'm not sure it's competitive, but honestly, eh. You know.
I'm not talking about charging the midline here. I'm talking about, because Zemo, you long move and then long charge, and then Ulic, you medium move and then do his range 5 charge, and you end up with a person on both of your opponent's back Sinister Syndicates. Red Skull gets his power, advanced on D4, goes on to one of the points. Then you can also still charge the midpoint and have someone, and like literally your 5-man team has one person on every point, turn one. Most of them are getting attacks off.
That just sounds really fun. I should try that. I've been playing nothing but Defenders lately because, frankly, Daredevil is a blast and Defenders are just fun and they've got a big old roster. But I'm kind of biding my time until the new Spider-Foes come out. It's faded.
Yeah, nope. But first, speaking of stuff coming up, who do you want to see that isn't in Marvel Crisis Protocol yet?
Okay, well, as I was saying earlier, my answer to this question has been super easy for a very long time because Angel is by far my favorite character in all of Marvel. And I'm not even sure why, but he just is. So now that Angel is announced, I can't say Angel anymore.
Nope.
So, but I think I have to pick someone else from my favorite X-Force run, 2008 X-Force, is Warpath. Because I think Warpath would be a blast. Mm-hmm. I think he's a cool character. I think it's a great opportunity for more representation in the game. It's in MCP, you know? I think they can make a great sculpt. And I think his rules might be really cool. You know, he's got that thing where in the comics he kind of does everything. So they can do pretty much whatever they want with him and he can be on brand. And I think that'd be really cool. Plus, you know, more X-Force. X-Force is fun.
Yeah. Fair enough. I also finally, as viewers will know, finally one of my top five got chosen to become a character in Elsa Bloodstone, which...
I hope she's cool.
Well, I'm pretty sure I heard them say that she has a Midnight Suns leadership on her.
That would be fun. It would be cool to... I always love, like, more leaderships. I remember being really, really, really wanting Wakanda to get more leaderships, and now they've got like 7, so good for them.
But yeah, no. So I'm still deciding who replaces Elsa Bloodstone in my top 5 now.
It's an interesting list. I like a lot of the X characters, but I don't play any X-Men for whatever reason. The playstyle just doesn't gel with me, but I love the characters. They're so much fun.
I very much want each of my members of my top 5 to represent something different that I want the game. So it's like, I have Nico in there because I want the Runaways. And Nico is my favorite Runaway.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about the Runaways before. It does sound pretty cool.
I have the Stafford Cuckoos as kind of like my mutant pick. And because they're fucking rad.
They are really cool. I don't think this character can ever come out in MCP, but my actual number one character is absolutely Conan. I don't think Conan will ever get an MCP release, but, oh, Conan is so cool. And the recent Savage Avengers run from Marvel is so much fun. It's so much fun. Black Knight and all the rest of those cool characters, and Elektra as Daredevil, and Conan running the team. It is a blast, and I want Savage Avengers in MCP so badly. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they have the license for Conan, so I don't think that one's going to happen.
No, I don't think they do, because that is a whole mess. I think it's the reason we will never truly get the Marvel vs. Capcom rosters.
Yeah, Oh, well, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame. I'm a little sad about it. But maybe we'll get the rest of the Savage Avengers, and that would be a really cool new affiliation.
I think we have most of them already, because wasn't that Doctor Voodoo, Wolverine, Conan the Barbarian, and then Elektra as Daredevil?
Yeah, a lot of the teams, especially the most recent one, like I said, Black Knight, and then is it Betsy or Betty? Bruce's ex.
Oh, Red Harpy.
There you go. Yeah, she's on Savage Avengers. And okay, that would be a cool character.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
I have talked about that one, because Red Harpy seems interesting.
Weird as heck. And I think Weapon H is on Savage Avengers in the most recent run. He totally is. And Weapon H would be dumb. Like, super dumb.
Yeah. Now, if we're talking about, like, newer stuff, I would love All Hallows.
I'm so sorry. What was that?
All Hallows, the new Spider-Man villain.
I'm not up with Spider-Man actually recently. What, I know nothing about All Hallows.
Let me make sure I'm getting the right name. Hallows Eve is the official name.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard it. I don't know anything about it because I dropped off Spider-Man a long time ago. That book has not been great.
I think this is one of the best creations from that book, and I think her spinoff is actually pretty damn solid.
That's exciting. I should check it out.
But she is a woman who has a bag of masks, and each mask, when she wears it, she gains superpowers based on the mask.
That's ominous. I like it.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, there you go. You've given me things to read about now. This is homework. I love it.
Homework.
So excited.
Uh-huh. And also, as much as it was a mediocre comic, I love the design of Chasm.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, to be clear, I love art. Art is why I read comic books, which, you know, seems silly, right? But not really. But one of the main reasons that the late 2000s X books are some of my favorites is because Clayton Crane did the art in that X-Force run. And it is digitally painted oils on all the interiors.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful interior work. If you haven't read it, give it a look, because they've got that run has Laura and Archangel and Wolverine and Cyclops and Warpath and Ghost Rider, and they're all just beautiful in this like oil painted style. Oh, so great! I love that book. Sorry, tangent.
Nope. We are a pro-tangent podcast.
I like it. I like it because I talk too much and too quickly for my own good sometimes.
So, who did you bring for us to talk about today?
I brought Kraven the Hunter.
Yes. Who?
Who is
somehow is getting a movie later this year.
Yeah. I was. You know what? I was thinking about that when I was thinking about doing this podcast. I was like, I hope we just gloss over the fact that movie's coming out, because I am not excited.
Okay. I will caveat this with saying I don't hate Madame Web. I had fun with it.
I haven't seen it. I mean, by all accounts, it is so bad that I decided not to watch it. But I mean, you're the first person to give it a positive review, so maybe it's not so bad. I don't know.
For me, it's a solid 3 out of 5. Like, not bad, not great. It's a little messy. I like the characters, which gives it a little leeway, because I think the characters and how they interact, I enjoyed.
Yeah, and to be clear... Sorry, go ahead.
The people who are calling this the worst movie ever have obviously not watched a lot of bad movies recently, because it can be so much worse.
I think the big thing is that, you know, if you're going into the movie and you're expecting a true AAA superhero movie, and then it's just not, it becomes the worst thing ever because, you know, the internet. But I have watched a lot of B movies, and I have enjoyed a lot of bad Godzilla movies. I can probably watch that film and enjoy myself. I don't know. So, I'm actually really hyped for that terrible Godzilla X Kong movie.
Oh, God, yes. Me and my dad are looking to go see it together.
I'm real hyped. And if you haven't seen it, Godzilla Minus One might actually be the best movie of last year.
Disagree with that. It's my number 3 of last year.
Number three. Behind Barbie and Oppenheimer?
Nope. Those two didn't even make the list.
Now I'm now I want to know what the list is. Maybe we'll exchange texts after the podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk off mic. But let's just say my number two was also a Japanese movie.
Okay. Was it the one with the guy that turned to the chair?
No. So my qualification was having its first American wide release in 2023, and my number two snuck in on that qualification.
Oh, okay. Interesting. This is like a Trivial Pursuit in the middle of a podcast episode. I love it.
Yes. And then my number one is an indie film that actually features and was written by one of the actresses from Runaways.
Wow. Who all was in that show? I never watched it. I heard it wasn't so great, but...
Oh, I love that. So, you will hear many controversial movie and TV opinions from me. Rylan, who many people know from many Discords, once called my tier list neo-riot-inducing.
Yeah, like I said before we started, you know, different strokes for different folks. It's all good. I keep meaning to watch Runaways. It looks kind of fun, kind of silly. It's got the who's the werewolf? Blood Rain, Blood something or other. What's her name? Rain something. Gosh.
Runaways? Are you thinking of the New Mutants movie with Wolfsbane?
Oh, I'm thinking of the New Mutants movie. I didn't even know there was two. Look at this. There's so much content out there.
Yeah, no, the Runaways TV show with that was on Hulu.
Right. I was thinking of that, but then I mixed Wolfsbane in there.
Uh-huh.
There's just Wolfsbane, so much content.
Played by Maisie Williams, which is a... So I play this thing called Sintunodal, which is... You start with a movie, and it's you versus another person. You have 20 seconds to name a different movie that shares an actor, director, writer, a person with that movie.
Yeah, totally. That sounds fun.
And you can only use the same connection 3 times, and you're going back and forth trying to trap people.
That sounds really fun.
Everybody knows Anya Taylor-Joy, so you can get them to... You can take them to a place where they use Anya Taylor-Joy as a connection point, and you take them to New Mutants when you as your third act, and they're like, who the fuck else is in this movie other than Anya Taylor-Joy? And then they see Maisie Williams.
Do you get to use the phone?
Huh?
Do you get to use your phone, or do you have to just remember it?
You're supposed to just remember it.
Oh, that sounds hard. I don't know about that.
Uh-huh. But Maisie Williams is also in 2 other films, because most people know her from, of course, Game of Thrones.
Sure, yeah.
But she is also in the Netflix movie iBoy.
I have no... That rings zero bells. I have never heard of this film.
And an obscure... A fairly obscure British film called The Falling, which also features Florence Pugh.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Welcome really, to... One second. Let me do math. I have played, I think, 800 games of Sintunodal at this point.
I gotta say, I really am enjoying the whole Trivial Pursuit podcast episode. This is great.
Scratch that. Close to 1,000. I'm 479 wins, 92 draws, and 410 losses.
Winning record. And there you go. Your kill death is positive. That's what you're going for, right?
Oh yes. Now there's a couple places, like, if I can take people to Korea and just lose them there.
I don't know if you should be saying that sans context. In oh man, that's funny.
Yeah, Korean cinema I'm really good in. I drag people into the Resident Evil and Step Up movies a lot of the time, and they can't find their ways out of it.
Step Up. I can't find my way out of the Step Up movies either. It's a problem.
Well, so you can drag people in because Channing Tatum is in the first and second film.
I actually knew that because my wife is a big fan.
But then films 3 and 5... I can't remember the actress's name, but she is the actress who is also the voice of Cadence on Phineas and Ferb. So you can go from there to the Phineas and Ferb movies or Camp Rock.
I after my time, honestly, Phineas and Ferb. I know nothing. I would probably lose this game. But it's a good thing that instead I'm not here to play this game. I'm here to talk about Kraven the Hunter.
Who is a great character. I love this character.
He's a fantastic character, and he has long been my very favorite Spider-Man villain. Ever since I first saw the Spider-Man animated series back in the 90s, Kraven is in like 3 episodes. He is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, he's been one of my favorite Spider-Man characters, and he is one of my favorite characters to play in MCP.
Mm-hmm.
Underrated, maybe a little. He's definitely not like, I don't know, quote-unquote top tier, but he is not bad, and he's totally could be played more than he is.
I think there are some new models that play really well with him.
I was thinking the same thing, yeah. So I'm excited to talk to pick your brain a little bit. We can figure it out.
So what affiliations jump out to you for Kraven?
Okay, so this is...
I forget. We, of course, are not doing him in Criminal Syndicate or Spider-Verse, because that's where he's affiliated. And last time we did this, we did him in Weapon X. So we are not doing him there.
Right. So... the one that jumps out at everybody, and people say to run him here, I have myself never played this, but people say to put him in Midnight Suns.
Yeah.
And the reason why. Sorry, go ahead.
That makes sense. He gets a lot of mobility off of the hop.
Specifically, he is one of those models where if he moves before he attacks, he gets to move again.
Yep.
And the hop counts if you do it during his activation, which, you know, is part of his activation. So that allows you to be more than three away and still be able to double attack and then move away. And I was going to say, you know, there's a few things that Kraven needs to succeed. And one of those things is double attack. He has to attack twice or he feels like poop. He feels so poopy. He always wants to attack twice every activation. And pulling that off is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight Suns helps. And any affiliation where you can get him there or run up into engagement and like have him not be the scariest model so that he survives to the next turn, I think that would be a solid plan too.
Yes.
You know, maybe Defenders even, because Luke Cage
is
affiliated and you've got all those sources of extra rerolls, which helps him build power with his kind of wimpy builder. And he needs that power because, man, if he goes and he gets to build himself up to like 8 power, he messes with the enemy team so much. He turns on your whole team so much, too.
Oh, yeah. So the one I want to talk about just because of new stuff, I kind of want to consider him in Mystique Brotherhood.
Mystique Brotherhood. Interesting.
One, because I think there is some fun stuff you can do with Corner of the Beast between Shadow King and Deception.
Yeah. You know, Deception does totally trigger that. And that brings up the other thing where, you know, if you're talking about building and you're making Kraven shine, you're basically talking about like the two halves of the same of his card, which is turning on Expert Tracker on as many things as possible and getting as many attacks with it as possible across your whole team.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of leaning into like the Trap House thing where you're actually using Corner of the Beast and then you're causing your opponent to trigger it. And then they take damage from Corner of the Beast. And maybe, I mean, I'm ahead of myself a little bit, but maybe you're playing Punisher who then blows a piece of terrain up that they're standing next to.
Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking Mystique as a character, likes that Expert Tracker. Any rapid-fire character likes that Expert Tracker.
Totally. Yeah.
And then the Corner of the Piece plus Deception to just insta-kill someone if they're on 1 HP left. Like, you don't have to roll dice, you just have to do this. I think, very strong. Also, Shadow King plus Kraven is such an hysterical side of the board.
Yeah, you know, I think the only downside there is just Shadow King being 5-threat, but I guess with a 3-threat leader, like, it's not as big a deal.
Yep.
And they have some good times with it. I think you just need to try to figure out how to get them just to not kill, just to not murk Kraven. It's his downside. He is a 5-5, 3-3-3, 3-threat, and he is so easy to kill.
He has, thankfully, one reroll.
He has one reroll, but having played a lot of games with Kraven, it doesn't always save him. Let's just go with that.
Yes.
It doesn't always save him. But let's see. I mean, if you're talking about things that kind of set it off. I mean, Enchantress.
Oh yeah,
Enchantress sets off the advance with the bow, and Expert Tracker can go off multiple times with her beam. If you get it off on multiple people, that's
so
pretty cool.
I think Cabal in general is an interesting thing to look at. We were talking about power before for Kraven.
Yeah.
Kraven having a reroll on his attack means he is somewhat consistent on getting damage through.
Right, but if he doesn't double attack, he doesn't build power because his more powerful attack, the one with more dice, is a gainer.
Yes.
So he needs the extra dice on his builder to build all that power up. So he's got a double attack.
But do you know who breaks symmetries on gainers very well?
I'm blanking.
OG Red Skull.
Ha ha ha. You know, I actually have run Kraven in Red Skull 1 Cabal, but I haven't run Red Skull 1 Cabal in probably a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So maybe some of the new pieces splashed in there too would continue to help that.
But
that,
like,
could be really fun.
You have Enchantress in affiliation, you have Mr. Sinister in affiliation, who is such a tank and such a, like,
and
look at me, I'm a target character in a way that also moves stuff around.
You have Mystique with Deception in affiliation as well.
Yes, you do.
Which plays with Corner of the Beast. Mm-hmm. Again, that doubles up on Enchantress. Scourge is really helpful for Kraven because they can both stand in the middle, and Scourge can bodyguard for
him. Oh, yeah.
That's great. Scourge loves the extra die on his gainer and his spender because he's already hitting like a freaking Mack truck.
Oh, yeah.
So making a three-threat swing for seven dice is insane, especially one who can bodyguard like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it also synergizes with, well, at least I think it does. Let me make sure. You know, as much as I've played Kraven, I've never played him with Grunts. The Grunts get the dice, right?
Yeah, I think so. Let me double check. He hasn't had an errata.
It says no. No updates or erratas. It says allied characters roll one additional attack die. So if Grunts get it, Ultron 2 Grunts become really annoying monsters with an Expert Tracker put down on there.
That I think there are many Grunts that become really annoying. The ones I actually think are more important for the Expert Tracker are the Hand Ninjas.
Yeah, totally. And that goes back a little bit to Defenders because Elektra throwing a couple extra dice well on her throwing daggers and on that spender, just like really pushing you to the I am absolutely going to one-shot you threshold. And then actually getting damage out of the Hand Ninjas, that's pretty cool. And hey, Punisher is affiliated in Defenders, and Punisher in particular absolutely loves everything Kraven does.
Uh-huh.
Because Kraven dies, which is great for Punisher, and Kraven helps his rapid fires be better, which is great for Punisher.
The other one that maybe grunt-wise may be in consideration, because the extra dice does really interesting things for them as well, is Red Skull 2 with his Hydra Grunts, who you can add an extra die when they do their action, move action, get an attack that rerolls any number of attack
dice. All rerolls. Yeah. That's actually true. And there's quite a few people in Hydra that like the extra dice as well.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a couple of rapid firers. You've got people who attack a decent amount. I think to maximize Expert Tracker, you really want to just go as wide as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we've been talking about some high threat characters, but I swear, Expert Tracker feels so good when you got table full of rapid firers all just getting five dice each.
Oh, yeah.
It's so nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it's nasty. And I actually won a tournament playing Kraven in Shadowlands Daredevil with just Shadowlands Daredevil and all the rapid firers, and it was great. But you know, obviously we're not running him in Criminal Syndicate, but you know, something like that, especially because it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really fun. And then when you've got a mass of three threats, people rarely look at Kraven as the one they should kill.
Yeah.
I've noticed. It's like he's really easy to kill. I'll just wait for him next turn. Oh no, he just double attacked and put expert tracker on three models. This is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And let's talk about a newer leadership. How do you feel about the card leadership for Steve Rogers, Captain America, Steve Rogers, aka Boomer Cap?
I was hoping you would bring this up. I am really excited for this leadership. I'm really excited to try Angry Cap and actually put him on the field. So I think that could be really cool. I think that there's a lot of play there, and it helps Kraven stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it lets him use his reroll to reroll skulls, which is great. Because you need to push that damage through so that you can get the power.
Yeah.
It's just solid, you know?
If you want a place to play Boomer Cap now, New Dock. He is so much fun in New Dock.
I keep meaning to try it. I have had less than good luck with MODOK 2 so far. I don't know. I think he might be too big Bane for me. I think the age is catching up with me. My brain doesn't work the way it should. MODOK 2 has too much going on, I swear.
Yeah, he is a big complicated boy.
Yeah, I've done okay, but I swear I think I'm just trying to force like Corvus too much. It sounds really cool to be able to get the flurry off more often, but frankly, he just dies, and then I'm just sad. But anyway, I will try. I haven't even built Angry Cap yet. He's just sitting there. Captain America is probably like my third or fourth favorite Marvel character. I love him. I've played a lot of Steve. I've played a lot of Red Skull, and I love Red Skull too because those two characters are like iconically, they hate each other, and I love it. It's so great. But Angry Cap being a little bad is a little sad. So, you know.
I think the community underrates Angry Cap. I think he does a lot of interesting stuff on the board.
I think the reason that he's underrated is because it feels really, really bad when you miss that flurry. It just feels terrible. Like, he really needs to get two attacks off on his builder, or he just feels like he's not doing any damage. And I think some support there is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be cool. Like, an extra die really does bump up his chances of hitting that with his full reroll power.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's quite a bit.
And also, I think people severely underrate his spender.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's probably just because no people haven't played him enough.
And people don't like spenders. I've noticed competitive people don't like spenders.
It's true because it's probably, you know, not the number one most, efficient thing to do, but I don't care. And his spender is fantastic.
Yeah.
Size 3 throw. He's going to get the wild. Stun and slow on a spender. It's just great.
Yeah.
Like, it does a ton of damage. I love it. I think he's just a little less defensive than people were looking for. Also, he's 5 health on the backside. I don't really know why that is the case. That's a little sad. I don't know. I'm excited about the Invaders leadership, and
yeah.
I think that would be really cool to try and build a brand new kind of a shield list, put Kraven in there, and see what happens. I think that could be fun.
Mm-hmm. So, we have talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What route do you want to actually build today?
I think we should look at the Invaders card or I guess Red Skull. I think that both of those sounded kind of fun. I should pick one.
Which Red Skull? Because we talked about two of them.
We did. I think Red Skull 1 sounds more fun, though.
Okay. Well, you know where my heart is.
It's true. So it's really up to you if you want to try and speculate on things that are really just spoiled at this point, or if we want to go back to Red Skull 1. You've probably built a lot of Red Skull 1 lists. You might have more fun if we do something a little different.
Not as many as you think. Because
really?
I always leave it in the hand of the guest to make the final choice.
That's fair. Well, I will leave this in your hand then for now. Which one would you sounds more fun, Invaders or Red Skull 1?
They both sound good.
Don't they? It just kind of sounds like a blast.
Yeah. I think we are talking about wanting to go wide.
Yes.
And I think we're going to go more wide in Invaders. So let's play some Invaders.
All right, let's do it.
Steve Rogers, Captain America, Steve Rogers out there. I love this boy.
I'm excited about that. That sounds really fun. We're going to do some really speculative list building right now. No one, you know, and then it's all going to be proven terrible later. We'll see.
Of course it will be.
I'm excited about it. Okay, cool. So, Invaders it is. Let me find a picture of that spoiler. So yes. I can remember what it does.
So, Steve Rogers, Captain America gets it after deployment. And then allied characters may reroll one defense dice and additionally may modify or reroll skills while they are within two of another allied character.
All right.
So we want to play this wide, I think.
I think we do, because that really makes Kraven shine. Not only that, but the leadership just gets better and better the more characters you have. It's kind of built into it, you know? Yeah, so I love that. It's, you know, double whammy. That's great when the leadership specifically makes the character we're talking about work better.
Uh-huh. So let's start out with, I think, the boy who gets so much better with an extra dice. Winter Soldier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Winter Soldier is fantastic. It's unfortunate that you can't, because it would be so good here.
Yeah.
So good. Because it triggers on his out of activation attacks. And he gets them twice as often with Soldat. But even without Soldat, he gets the out of activation attacks, which Expert Tracker gives him extra dice on. It's great. I have played a lot of Winter Soldier with Kraven. It is so much fun. It's great.
And then
I'm right there with you.
We have to talk about what was for the longest time my favorite model in the game. It's still up there, but there's more contest now. Black Widow, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think if we're going to put a Black Widow in here, especially with this leadership, it needs to be the Black Widow.
I'm just looking at that rapid fire with Kraven, dude.
I understand, but the rest of her card is so rough. And
oh, no.
If you're running Kraven, if you have a bunch of squishies on the board, then that's just more people who die, because Kraven absolutely will die. I don't know. Give me your pitch, because the Black Widow, the new fourth threat. I know we were talking about going wide.
New fourth threat is insane. So
she's insane, and she's not gonna die, and she loves the extra defense die. Now, that said, she does double up on the rerolls, the skull rerolls, because she gets that innately. So, I don't know.
So
sell me on Black Widow, too.
So, I think the actual answer here is the one neither of us have chosen. We're trying to go wide. Let's play the affiliation, too.
You're right. And you know what? You're right for multiple reasons. One, because she actually hits really hard with Kraven.
Oh,
and mixed technique can actually go off.
Oh, yeah.
You can spend her and actually get the stagger off. But on top of all of that, the Invader's leadership makes her probably the most annoying two threat to take down. Absolutely. Like, here I am. I'm re-rolling. I count blanks. I'm just a two threat. Enjoy. Enjoy trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're probably right. I think Black Widow goes in.
Mm-hmm. But I have a deep abiding love for Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think people underrate the defensiveness of Parting Shot plus stealth.
Probably. Isn't there a new Parting Shot character coming out? Or one that just came out? One or the other.
But it's like, the combination of Parting Shot plus stealth means you will never get double tapped if you have the two power.
That's true. I get it.
And so that there's a level of protection in that most people don't have. Let us talk about what I think is the best three threat in the game.
Carry on. What's that?
The Howling Commandos.
Yeah, absolutely. I think building a shield list without the Commandos would be silly.
Yeah.
Almost. They're too good.
Mm-hmm.
They're fantastic. I think, and on top of all the rest of that stuff, I mean, they're too good to not just love doing even more damage with Got Your Back.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. So doubling up on Got Your Back, that's a classic shield strat, but it becomes even better if you've got Expert Tracker on the on the model. It's great. I kind of like Spectacular Spider-Man here.
So, want to know why I love that Spectacular Spider-Man exists?
Why's that?
Because there's finally a Spider-Man, there's finally a Peter Parker Craven can kill for Fearful Symmetry.
I love the idea of running them together because they team up in the comics sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Because what's cool about Craven, one of the reasons I love Craven, is that he is a rat bastard, but he has a very strict code of honor. And when the other villains go against it, he will absolutely be a hero for a while because they're not being honorable about their shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of him working with Spider-Man kind of tickles my fancy because he hates him so much. But if, you know, if whatever whoever we're fighting against is being dishonorable about the hunt or something, then Kraven would totally be there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think Spectacular Spider-Man works well here.
Oh, yeah.
I think... Gosh, I'm looking through the affiliated list. Probably Iron Man. Not the three threat. The new four threat.
You want to get a second four threat in here?
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. And the only reason I'm bringing up him is because the rerolls really help push damage. And what I mean, if we're bringing Kraven and we're playing defensive shield with the Invaders leadership, we probably want to bring some more offense to offset that.
Mm-hmm.
He also gives us the other leadership for any time we don't want to take Tony or Steve.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a thing. Yeah. I don't know.
If we were going to take one of the other leaders, I would point towards Nick just because the two bodies in one model, I think, is worth the 4 points.
No, you know what? You're right, especially if we're talking about maximizing Kraven, because even if we're never planning on running his leadership, the grunt attacks with Expert Tracker sound really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, no, you're right. You're right.
Now I think we're full up on affiliated pieces. What other out of affiliated pieces jump out to you?
Okay. My number one favorite character to run with Kraven is Punisher. We talked about that a little bit. I think Punisher, not only is Punisher way underplayed in general.
Oh, yeah.
But with Kraven, he is a monster.
Oh,
his rapid fires get better, and he has automatic rapid fire, which means you're never going to miss out on getting double five attacks. So good. Mm-hmm. His spender becomes even more devastating, and he loves Corner the Beast for sometimes getting people to stand still next to terrain and not think about the fact that Punisher can blow it up.
Uh-huh.
This will happen because people will get all up in their head about not moving because of Corner the Beast, and then they take two free damage, not instead of one free damage from Punisher, you know? And it's great giving that, like, Catch-22 thing, that Trap House playstyle without going all in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Punisher is a blast to play, and if we're going wide... Blood Red and Personal is, I know we're not there yet, but it is a great card to play with Kraven because he dies all the time.
Yep.
So I think Punisher is my number one out of affiliation here.
My number one out of affiliation is a character we talked about earlier, and it is Mystique.
I think Mystique is a great plan. Yeah, yep. Adding some rap. Yeah.
And I think she will become so annoying with the leadership where she gets... Suddenly, totally. You get it's once again that reroll plus martial artist.
Yeah, any martial artist with a reroll is just bonkers, super, super duper annoying.
Yeah.
Does that put us at 8 or 9?
That puts us at 9 currently. I do think we want another non-3 threat, whether that's a 5 threat to play high when we need a little bit of kaiju or another 4 in there.
Get a little oomph. All right. Well, there's consideration for. We talked about Ultron, who just pushes damage with Expert Tracker like nobody's business. It also gives us another throw, which I think we're really light on right now.
Mm-hmm.
You could go competitive and take, you know, some kind of safe grab. If you're playing Shield, Bill becomes a super annoying character with a defense reroll.
Mm-hmm. So, a newer character... that I think is very interesting and likes how wide we are going already is King T'Challa.
Oh, I am very unfamiliar with this character, so now I gotta check this out. Give me your reasoning here.
So he is a 4-4-4 with no defensive stat line already, so the leadership reroll will give him some defensive ability, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, relevant, yeah.
But then he has the Defenders of Wakanda, which is the Ghost Rider ability, where whenever another ally character is damaged by an enemy effect, this character gains one power.
All right, yeah, I can see that, and he uses that power really well.
Oh, yeah.
That spender is bonkers,
and then the Bound plus Vibranium Spear when you're within two, so you're getting the double reroll, is... Phew. You're doing 8 dice?
Well, 9 with Expert Tracker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's nice. I like this also as a consideration for the other thing I talked about, where if there's not a bigger threat, Kraven might get attacked, and he hates that.
Yeah.
Because maximizing Kraven is all about getting to Expert Tracker more than one round in the game.
Yeah.
If you only get your Expert Trackers off one round, he is not going to feel like he was crazy. If you get to do that whole bonkers thing twice in a game, mm-hmm. not only do you usually win, but it feels so fun. It's so much fun. But you got to draw attention with somebody.
Yeah.
And T'Challa will definitely do that.
Oh, yeah.
And that brings up, I guess, other people that might do the same.
Ghost Rider is also a kind of interesting shout in that same way.
Yeah. I can see that. I actually haven't played a lot of Ghost Rider myself. I don't own the. Yeah, I don't own the model. I never bought the box. I got Demons Downtown from the Doctor Strange Dormammu Ultimate Encounter,
yes.
So I never had to buy Ghost
Rider. The domain
Riders.
Of Dread Dormammu, the thing that showed us why we will never have a Mystic Petaflip.
Oh my goodness, that was a nightmare. It was fun though. It was a good casual game night. Yeah.
I love it, but there's a reason we don't have a official Mystic pay to flip.
You're right. You're totally not wrong. Yeah, I mean, I think staying somewhere in the five threats and the up in your face, like mm-hmm. 4, 5, or 6, and an in your face 4, 5, or 6 is probably what we're looking for here.
Mm-hmm. We have the mix of in your face and midline grab, but he would kind of be competing with one of our existing picks of Amazing Peter.
It's not a bad shout because ASM loves extra dice, because if he doesn't get his triggers, he feels like a sad boy.
Yeah, but he doesn't use the most of the leadership. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I want to run Spectacular Spider-Man a lot in this list.
Yeah.
So I think ASM kind of takes that away. I don't know.
What about a character that I think likes the extra dice, has very explosive turns, and loves the defensive reroll from the leadership, Cosmic Carol?
You know what? Perfect. That's actually that right there. That's it. Because you're totally right that she loves everything about the leadership. Everything about the leadership.
Oh yeah.
And the extra dice is just kind of icing on the cake, but it's good icing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not fondant. It's the good stuff.
Yeah, and her getting to reroll defense, defense dice into enhanced energy absorption is mwah.
It's super good, and rerolling out of skulls is always good.
Oh yeah,
just in general, I think that's great.
Oh yeah,
no, yeah, I love that. Yeah, no, this is great, and you know, outside of everything else, if she's still in normal form and attacking into an Expert Tracker target, she'll build the power better, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's just all around good. And it's different, because usually you see her run somewhere where she can be in binary, like, ASAP. But I think she does decent work with an extra die, even in her normal
form. Oh, yeah.
All right.
So now, objectives. What type of objective game is this team playing?
Oh, I mean, your shield. We've got Nick in there. So even without his leadership, there's still shenanigans to be had with his grunts.
Yes.
So probably we want some midline extracts.
Yeah, I could see some midline extracts. I think we are a great Hammers team. We already have one extra dice.
Oh, yeah. So many rapid fire. The Hammers is a no-brainer. And I think this particular kind of build may be one of the only things that really has game into X-Force on Hammers. Kind of does X-Force just goes nuts with Hammers.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Shield, with all of this kind of rapid fire and the way we're building this Shield team, probably does similar things.
Yeah.
Just three threats that become bonkers. Bucky rolling six die rapid fires. That's just silly.
And being able to get the extra dice into the character holding a bunch of hammers.
Yes.
That then you can convert into extra dice to against other people by dazing him.
Totally. All right, so hammers makes sense. Plus, it fulfills our midline extract thing we were talking about.
Yep.
I think pushing through small amounts of damage is helpful when we're doing chip damage.
Yeah.
So, like, ship is probably a good shout.
Yeah, I like ship. Most people don't like playing on ship.
Yeah, there's not a lot of affiliations that like it, but I think if anybody would, it might be this. Now, there's a little bit of a disconnect with ship because we want to be close to each other because of invaders.
Mm-hmm.
And we could end up blowing up our side.
Yeah.
So I think it's a maybe. I think ship is a maybe. I don't know.
I also think we have a lot of reactive ways to spend our power in this list.
Yes. Yes. Kraven should be spent. Kraven alone should be spending down to zero every turn.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cosmic Carol, however, wants her power. So maybe you just don't bring her on ship, I guess.
Well, or you don't use her as an extract carrier on ship.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think ship is actually a solid choice.
Yeah.
I think I would take ship. And then the question is, if we want to take something kind of off the wall, like senators, and just encourage a midline pressure and just rapid fire the shit out of people.
If we want to encourage a midline pressure and do chip damage, Paranoia pummels populace, because we also want to stick around each other anyway.
Yeah, my worry with Paranoia is that you get it, and you don't have prio, and you run into a team like X-Men who can just 4-2 you on that, and then they run away with it. But I guess if you're playing Shield, you've got the option of, if you're worried about it, playing Nick and catching up.
Yep. Catching up, and you can force their hand in where they go, because Nick and the Grunts can grab two objectives. Because, they grab a midline safely on turn one. You can grab the two other safe ones and leave them whatever their unsafe option is.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? You're totally right. Because I think the only other choice, or the only other things I was thinking of, was Skrull and Legacy Virus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like Skrull. We have a lot of three physical defense characters here. And then again, I like 20 with this many low-threat characters.
Mm-hmm. But I like 16, because there are very few teams that are going to go 5 wide at 16. And we can do it easily.
That's true. That's true. Because at that point, you just take the only 4 threat is the leader, and you just go 3s across the board with a 5.
Or you do 4-4-2-3-3.
That too. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. Okay, sure. Let's take Paranoia. I don't play that Crisis enough anyway.
And any of these options where we can potentially strand people on the midline, deception becomes so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're totally right. And that's part of what I was thinking about with senators, too. So yeah. I think we're on the right track.
Secures, I think, are a more interesting bunch.
Yeah. I mean, traditionally, Shield loves a certain set of secures, but this is really not traditional Shield.
No.
we're building for invaders here as much as we're building for Kraven. So I don't think invaders wants demons. That just completely counteracts everything that the invaders leadership does.
I think we have enough to play buddy system mutant madman.
That could be. We've got some. We've got a decent amount of four physical defense. We've got a lot of fast characters too.
Yeah.
You know, a little two threat Black Widow running around flipping points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it. I think B shapes are pretty good in general for rapid fire teams. So yeah. Maybe Infinity Formula, because we want the power.
Infinity Madman.
And then aside from that, I don't think this team beats the best Scoundrels teams, and Scoundrels is terrible for rapid fire.
Oh yeah. No. Not Scoundrels.
Mm.
I don't think we're Deadly Meteors. I don't think we're Demon Gamma. Are we? Are we a Fisk team or a Sword team?
I mean, if we're being... Look, we're trying to Dark Horse already. We're talking about a lot of teams are good at Paranoia. Not a lot of teams are good at Fisk either.
Yeah.
And I think as a rapid-fire team, you don't mind being stunned as much.
No,
I have noticed
you don't.
This. Because your game... And pretty much everything on the team has a gainer.
Yeah.
And if you end up on Fisk, just put everybody with gainers and then don't even worry about being stunned.
And... Cosmic Hail can just flip herself into binary form and lose the stun.
Yeah. No, it's all around. It's solid because you're talking Spectacular Spider-Man, Kraven, all like four rapid fire characters. They're all just building with gainers, so they don't mind being stunned.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right that we're pretty good at 16. I like it. Fisk it is.
So now, S.H.I.E.L.D. has so many goddamn good tactic cards. Of course, we're getting in the evaders.
I need to defer to someone with more S.H.I.E.L.D. experience, because I have only played one game of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I don't know which one of all these things are good.
So
this is not my forte.
Let's start with the slam dunk. Battlefield Medicine. Get in.
Med pack is the number one. That one I know. That one I know is good.
And I think because we get med pack in affiliation without a slot, we can actually spend the restricted slot on deception pretty easily and still feel okay.
Sure. Actually, yeah.
And then sit rep is also a dumb card.
That's the reprint of Tactical Brilliance?
Tactical Analysis, but yes.
Tactical Analysis, there you go, yeah.
But it only
costs card that I used to run all the time.
One.
That is pretty crazy. Yeah, that seems pretty good. I mean, do we bring Nick's card, probably? The Eye in the Sky, yeah?
Yes, we probably bring Eye in the Sky.
Because we may not be bringing him every game, but it's still a fantastic card.
Oh, yeah. And getting to use it every turn because you're randomly S.H.I.E.L.D. is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I
don't see anything in here that seems real good, except... No, that's too much. I was going to say we can make Kraven a S.H.I.E.L.D. model.
I don't think we need to.
I don't think we need to, and the only reason I would want to do it is because S.H.I.E.L.D. Mobile is great for him, because it scoots him in there, and he gets the advanced already on his turn, and it lets him double attack.
But I think we get that. I think we don't want to... I don't think that is worth it.
I agree. No, you're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess that's done for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
and then
we've already started...
Sorry, we've already started Eye in the Sky, so I guess we're starting on, like, character-specific cards.
Yep, we talked about Blood Red and Personal, we talked about Deception, let's get both of those in there.
Absolutely, I think Blood Red and Personal just is stapled to Punisher, and I think Punisher comes in on any, like, Infinity Formula, he just loves Infinity Formula.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, it's ideal.
What do you feel about Go Get 'em Tiger?
I don't know. What do you think? I've thought about it quite a bit. I think the second part of the card is what it's for.
Yes. And the first part of the card is just, woo, this happened, gravy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. giving extra movement is really good, but are we really going to take it when we're already spending one card on invaders?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it comes out when you're already spending one card on invaders, and we have so many other fantastic cards.
Yeah, I think we are going to have a 9th and 10th card issue of just like, sure, this card. It's not like we're going to play it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And that's okay, though.
Yeah. So,
and because what that lets you do is that lets you take your 9th and 10th card as super, like, what do you call it? Matchup cards.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I think it allows our 9th card to be Fearful Cemetery just for the shits and giggles.
All right, I'll take it. I love it.
I think we go Sacrifice for other restricted card.
If we're talking about maximizing Kraven, I think that's probably smart. It also plays into the Invader's leadership because you can sacrifice onto a character with some health left and be reasonably sure that they don't die.
Well, because Sacrifice prevents the leadership reroll.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess.
But, like, our team positioning is already set up for Sacrifice through our leadership.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I think Sacrifice, I mean, then again, speaking of dying three threats, a really good way to kill a three threat is to just throw a size 3 building at it.
Yeah.
And
so do
I don't
want
know.
Sacrifice or Brace more?
Sacrifice. Because there's just too much we can do with it.
Yeah. So that leaves us two slots left. I think Mission Objective is a no-brainer.
Yeah. In Shield, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, sure, the last one can be Fearful Cemetery if we want to go full Kraven, and maybe it should be, since that's the whole theme of the podcast. But there are a lot of other good cards.
I have one more slot open, and we haven't touched, and that includes Fearful Cemetery in that list.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, but there are a lot of interesting cards that we haven't touched on.
There are so many interesting cards. We've got... Who else is in? We've got... Gosh.
I don't think we want any of the other character-specific cards. I mean, Steve Rogers, Captain America. Steve Rogers has Over the Top, but I don't think that's quite the type of card we want to play.
No.
Maybe we get vertical assistance with Black Widow.
Well, hold on a second. What about Battle Plan in this particular list?
Yeah, I could see maybe Battle Plan.
Because we're already close to each other. We're already going to be taking damage.
Oh, yeah.
We've taken crises that are going to cause chip damage to other people, so we're gonna be taking some of it.
Uh-huh.
So removing one damage, being able to place...
Yeah.
Is really good. I mean, I don't know. Seems pretty good. Sorry, go ahead.
I think I actually like Battle Plan.
I'm just... My two things on it are, is Angry Cap ever going to have 3 power to play this card?
Oh, yes.
And then the other thing is, are we ever going to take this card?
That is more mixed. I think we may take it on specifically Mayor Fisk. Because also its third ability of remove a special condition on Mayor
Fisk. I didn't even think about that. That's fantastic. Removing stun for free, well, for 3 power, and getting to reposition back onto the Fisk point if it's been moved away from you on top of it.
Yeah.
Actually, is they're both that is both really good. It also, I actually have played this with Steve 3 on like Gamma and stuff like that, and it is fantastic on any central, which we're kind of weak on. So shoring up our ability to play the central like beat 'em up factions is not bad.
Yeah. So I think that's a list.
Okay. I like it. That sounds fun.
Yes, for everyone at home, our final list is Kraven the Hunter, Steve Rogers, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Black Widow, Nick Fury and the Howling Commander, Spectacular Spider-Man, Nick Fury, Punisher, Mystique, and Captain Marvel, Cosmic Avenger. Then we have the Invaders, Battlefield Medicine, I chose the wrong thing. Sit rep. That's the card I was supposed to click. 1 second. They're right next to each other alphabetically, so misclicked. Eye in the Sky, Blood Red and Personal, Deception, Fearful Cemetery, Sacrifice, Mission Objective, and Battle Plan. And then secures, we have Mutant Madman turns City Center into Lethal Amusement Park. Infinity Formula goes missing. Mayor Fisk vows to find missing witnesses. And then for extracts, we have Fear Grips World is worthily terrorized city. Alien ship crashes in downtown, and paranoia pummels populace.
I love it. It sounds pretty fun to me.
Yeah, this sounds like such a fun list.
I've always wanted to play more Shield, but they, you know what? They also seem like a big brain faction, and maybe the Invaders leadership is less big brain. Maybe this is Shield I can play.
Yeah. None of us are quite the cook-off.
No. Sadly, I do not have that skill set. However, I am very excited for the Invaders. I'm pretty excited for Namor too. I want to see what he does.
Oh yeah, and I like the new Black Panther, and I secretly hope he is secretly Convocation.
Maybe that could be really fun. Convocation has needed something new for a while now.
I think they are the affiliation with the longest time since a new model has come out for them.
That makes sense because they all kind of dropped right at the same time. And then was Colossus after that?
Yeah.
Or before?
I think Magic was after that.
Yeah, but not very long. And then it's been nothing else.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's hoping.
Here's hoping.
The more options for people to play, the more fun MCP is. I've been talking like on the Discords about how I feel like MCP is like casual MCP has never been better. Mm-hmm. It is so much fun. Casual MCP is like the most fun it's ever been right now.
Yeah.
So many options, so many characters, so many affiliations. Everybody has a good time. It's a blast. So,
So yes. For people who wanted to reach out to you, where could they find you?
On the Discords at Seraph6. That's Seraphvi. It's my handle on pretty much anything, including Steam and all the other junk. And I am occasionally on Tabletop Simulator. I don't know, like, if I can get it to work on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. I have no cool online presence because I am just a regular guy, sadly.
And if you wanted to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/AlexaWhite, where you get magical bonus episodes where you can go back and listen to my top 10 movies of the year, which I did with Witchmaid, along with wonderful bonus episodes such as my recent episode on previously mentioned Godzilla Minus One. And all sorts of other fun stuff.
Godzilla Minus One. Oh,
yes.
It's such a good movie.
It is. Also, you get access to the Morlocks Discord, where you can find my custom MCP characters, where I'm working on both a League of Legends expansion and a Versus Capcom expansion. So.
And there's some Arkham Horror LCG content in here. What a great game that is.
Arkham Horror LCG is my favorite game of all time.
So it's not as good a game, but have you played Marvel Champions?
Yes. So, you may get this analogy. I find the relationship between Marvel Crisis Protocol and Shadowpoint to be the same relationship between Arkham Horror the card game and Marvel Champions.
Fair. That's fair. I do actually enjoy all four of those games.
Yes,
so
I do.
There you go.
But I think I find the list building and deck building aspects of Shadowpoint and Champions are less interesting by how trait focused they are.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I think there's a, what do you call it? There's something to be said for like normie accessibility. And I think that Shatterpoint and Marvel Champions definitely have it. And Arkham Horror definitely does not have it. That is the hardest newbie game.
No, it's not.
Oh, I don't know. Well, okay. We can have different opinions, but it's pretty tough for me.
Let me... Have you tried going back and playing the Lord of the Rings game? Card game.
I have not, but that's a fair point. That actually is a fair point. I understand it. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Arkham Horror, the card game, was a normie improvement from that Lord of the Rings game.
most things would have been a normie improvement from the Lord of the Rings LCG.
Yes.
Sorry, deck building game. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was. Was that not fantasy? Was that Fantasy Flight or was it?
So that was the first LCG, because before that, the Call of Cthulhu card game, which was made by Fantasy Flight, but became an LCG about halfway through its lifespan.
Right, right, right. And Fantasy Flight copyrighted the Living Card Game name, so nobody else can use it, which is absolutely hilarious to me, because everybody's coming up with weird euphemisms for the concept of a living card game.
I am a big fan of the Vampire the Masquerade Living Card Game.
I didn't know they had one.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That sounds interesting.
It's cool.
Yeah, I've actually been playing. It came out recently. You might actually enjoy this game. It's kind of just a one box at this point. It's the Seventh Sea deck builder came out recently from the Kickstarter, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that setting.
I know of it. I do not currently have the money to buy stuff.
Fair enough. You could check it out though, because it's pretty cool, and it is like a reimagining of the original deck builder of 7th Sea way back. So it's kind of cool, because 7th Sea's been around for a long time.
So the one I'm excited about is my Kickstarter, which I paid for like 2.5 years ago, for the Rainbow Six miniatures game.
Oh, that does sound cool. Oh, I love so miniatures. Pretty. I honestly, like, more of a painter than a player. I love to paint, so miniatures are cool.
I am on the other end of the spectrum where I don't paint at all.
Which is perfectly fine. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I love that people can play without painting, and I love that people can paint without playing. This is our hobby. It's fantastic that it has room for everybody. It's so good. I love it.
So, yeah.
I love nerd hobbies. They're just so great.
So, yes. And keep experimenting, everybody.